Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Seth Kane. Hello, Seth.
Hi, Gary.
Full disclosure, I know Seth. He's a good friend. We have worked together at a big box store who shall not be named, Lowe's. But we have a lot of conversations in the aisles, and Seth is deep into solar. He's a solar technician.
Solar installer. I design systems, pretty much all of like the back of house stuff that doesn't include selling it.
Okay.
Yep.
I was teasing him that at some point I wanted to have a solar power for dummies.
Mm-hmm.
I assured him I would be the dummy on this. I really know very little about solar. Solar's in the news a lot right now, whether you're talking about State of the Union, mm-hmm. whether you're talking here in mid-Missouri about solar farms.
Right.
It's just a very topical subject. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to chat about solar power. So if you were explaining this to a child,
right.
how would you explain, first of all, how solar power works?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate this, right?
Okay.
And it's very rare that I get to be serious. So in this case, I get to be goofy and serious,
yeah.
which is nice. Because how much time do we have? Like a whole week? Because
yes.
I could talk about it that long.
This is a week-long podcast, yes.
I appreciate the opportunity to just come and talk about solar.
Because
I could literally do it till the end of time. To explain it to dummies, we have a actual solar panel. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have is silicone wafers that are inside there.
Okay.
Now, think of it like a microchip or a semiconductor, right?
Right.
Now, the way that those work is a voltage is applied. It's either on or off, right? Like
mm-hmm.
a switch. This is the same thing except for with sunlight and electricity, right?
Okay.
So you've got a silicone wafer that is doped and they put phosphorus and boron in it. And there's several different layers to
mm-hmm.
it. So what happens is that lies in wait, a photon comes down and hits that. And in the two actual, like phosphorus and all that sort of stuff like that, the two actual like bits that are inside there, one of them has a free floating electron and the other one does not. So whenever photon comes in, it knocks one of those electrons loose,
okay.
right? And that's the photovoltaic effect.
Okay.
Right? So silicone wafer doped to be a more effective semiconductor, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sunlight's applied, it makes electricity. That's by and large how an actual solar panel works. It's a natural process. You know, the photovoltaic effect, it's happened
mm-hmm.
throughout time, like things like batteries, if you will, which they aren't photovoltaic, but it's like a chemical reaction sort of thing like that. Anything from like storms, thunderclouds, to shuffling your feet across the carpet and touching the doorknob,
mm-hmm.
right? That's all DC. Nature is very good at making DC. Humanity makes AC.
Okay.
So the difference is DC is direct current and
mm-hmm.
AC is alternating current. Solar panels are just the same. They make DC. So we have our solar panel that we put out in the sun, and just about everything that we rely on is done through AC current or AC
mm-hmm.
power, right?
Right.
So it goes solar panel into an inverter, which changes it from DC over to AC power. That way it can integrate into our household and all the things that we would use it for.
Run the refrigerator,
right?
TV, etc. Yep.
Right. That is the 99.9% of time case.
Okay.
You know, there are different things where you can do a solar panel to a battery backup to just DC stuff, just
mm-hmm.
in general, right?
Yeah.
Where you could keep it just DC, but
yeah.
that's more off-grid, RV, that kind of thing. But again, 99 times out of 100, it is somehow converted or tied back to an AC system.
Let's talk about, obviously, when the sun is shining bright, that's the most efficient ability for it to create
mm-hmm.
that energy. So
right.
what about like a cloudy day? Is there a diminished reward for the solar at that point?
Yes, but see, this is what I like because I'm going to get you into the deep end here.
Yeah, all right.
Right. I'm not going to try to go like too science with it, but just
okay.
enough. So you said the word efficiency.
Yeah.
So not now, but I think in the next little bit of conversation, we're going to get into that, which
okay.
I'm excited about because, again, with being very excited for this opportunity to talk about it, not a lot of people know, not necessarily even the nitty gritty of it, but just overall kind of what it is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, back to if the sun's out, it's maximum efficiency. Outside right now, it's raining, it's overcast and all that stuff. Now, at arm's length, holding your hand all the way out, you could still see your hand, right?
Right.
That's photons are coming down, reflecting off that. So it's the same thing with a solar panel, right? Okay. Middle of summer, you have to have sunglasses on to block some of that to be able to see because there's that much light, that much energy, those many photons going on, right?
Sure,
so same thing like being out in the rain, you could still see your hand in front of you. It's just, it's not as much, you know? So with a cloudy day, with rain, things like that, you're going to be cut down to at least half of the power that you would be able to produce, but it's not zero.
You know?
And of course, being outside at night, it's dark, so they're not going to work.
Let's take a break from our podcast here for a couple quick announcements. So every month we have a coffee with the editor. This month we're going to be at Coffee Zone from 8:30 to 9:30 on Tuesday, February 21st. So stop by, get a free cup of coffee, share your thoughts about the News Tribune, the community. We welcome you. It's a come and go type event. Stop by and say hi. Also, I wanted to make a note that we are scheduling forums for the April 4th election. So we will have a forum for Jefferson City School Board candidates as well as City Council candidates. The dates, we're firming them up now, but here's how you can help. Submit your questions for the candidates. We will ask them for you what the issues are that you believe we should be addressing. So you can send us an email at vote@newstribune.com. Now, back to the podcast. From your perspective, when you look at the industry, here in mid-Missouri, let's say, would you say most of the consumers of solar power are commercial slash industry or residential?
It's all over the place. There is an elephant in the room that I will have to address.
Okay.
Like everything, solar too is political.
Right.
And not that it doesn't need to be, not that it is entirely, but there is an aspect of it that is, you know, through things like rebates, through things like subsidies, and even through things like just like you had mentioned earlier, talking on the news with it. You know, it seems kind of at times like a football, right? So what it is and what it isn't are two different things.
Right.
So everybody thinks that it's this them or us kind of thing. Or that, you know, like solar's going to go out there and shut down all the coal plants and this and that. And it is a big topic, but it isn't that. Yeah. You know, I've been to plenty of places. The USDA offers a grant for rural places, oftentimes like farms and things like that, called the REAP grant. And so, farmers are very okay to have solar out there. It makes sense for them, right? They've got grain silos that are drying out corn or just running things, I mean, very, very intensely for a select amount of time.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It's cheaper for them to put solar out there. And there have been a handful of farmers that have been like, I wanted to put more, but I can't. Like, I'm capped at this, you know?
Right.
Again, houses too. You know, you kind of have to find that golden ratio.
Yeah.
So before I get too far ahead to dial it back to the more solar for dummies sort of thing, the general application is, let's picture a house.
Yeah.
You've got a solar panel that goes on top of a house.
Okay.
Right? You feed that thing into an inverter. And then from there, it could do one of two things, but let's keep it simple. You tie it back to a breaker inside your breaker box. And then you go out to a physical disconnect switch outside by the meter. So your solar goes into your inverter, is fed from that breaker, and then if there's any sort of cause for emergency from the utility, like say if they swap out a transformer and they want to make sure that your solar system isn't feeding back, they can go and kill it. And
much like a generator.
Exactly, exactly that. And the reason that they have that is called anti-islanding, right? So a generator is a good one.
Yeah.
If you are producing electricity, like your house is, despite the grid being down, and a lineman gets up on a pole, right, and they didn't have those things in place, he touches that line and it's ouch time for him.
you know, or her. Absolutely.
It's one of those things where it's integrated into the technology of the inverter. If it's UL listed, it has to have anti-islanding. So it will shut down on its own, but a grid requirement or a utility requirement is they have to have that disconnect.
Okay.
So again, solar panel, inverter, and then you've got generally a breaker and a disconnect outside, and that's it.
Okay. When you talk about a panel on top of the roof, so I was driving around town the other day and I saw an array of solar panels that took up half a yard.
Yes.
So let's say I wanted to install this on my home. How big of a area do you need to be able to make an impact on a home's electrical usage?
Right. And this is another one to kind of find in that golden area, right? Because I know you, and at home you've got 13 hot tubs, a couple of pools. You know, you've got that tennis court out there that you have lit. You know,
right. I've got
constantly.
A fleet of EVs that I have to charge. Yeah.
So you would need an additional football field of solar.
Right.
You know,
right.
To make a dent.
Yeah. Solar farm is basically what I need. Right. Yeah.
But me, I mean, I just live in a van, so I don't need any. No. Yeah. The best case scenario is if you have an open southern facing roof.
Okay.
And again, it's just you've got to find out what does and doesn't work for you. Because, and again, this is some of the peeling back of what solar isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't all the time always an option or even a viable option for some people, right? Mm. If you've got shading, if you are in a place where, you know, maybe the integrity of the roof just won't support it.
Right.
Right. And in those cases, it wouldn't work out.
Yeah.
So the idea that being in solar, everyone needs to have solar. I mean, yeah, it'd be part of the solution to how we use energy. But is it realistic? Not necessarily. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
But to answer your actual question, if you put on, again, just to kind of make this a general roundabout, I mean, 10 to 20 panels, something like that, you can either make a dent or take care of all of your, you know, electrical consumption.
So how big is the panel?
Panel's about 3 foot by about 4.5, just depending. They make several different sizes, right? So about 40 inches wide and about 70 inches tall. And that's a standard 62 cell.
Okay.
Again, this is me kind of going to the weeds with you.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. So let's do that, though. Let's take a second and let's say Gary wants to put solar in his house.
Okay.
Okay. And he says, hey, Seth, walk me through how you're going to do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. How would you treat me as a customer? And let me just tell you up front, you're not going to come do it to my house because I'm not going to share my home address with you.
He knows I'm doing it.
All right. So walk me through the process.
Right, right, right. So what I would start with is your historical usage. Generally, you'll get your hands on the last full year. And the way that you're billed through your utility is kilowatt hours. Now, again, this is to kind of really fully get into the weeds.
Yeah.
Right? Because what a solar company, what Seth here would sell you, Gary, once you give me your home address, would be based
not
off
happening.
Of watts, right?
Yeah.
Or kilowatts, like a 7.7 kilowatt system, for instance. You start with that on the solar side. But what you're billed on is kilowatt hours.
Okay.
Because if you think about within a 24-hour period, you used this whole chunk of electricity. That's what your house consumed. So they break that down into kilowatt hours. So at the end of your billing cycle, which is generally a month, you have that. Well, you have to take that and then you have to kind of break it down into watts or what you would use, right?
Yeah.
Translate it from kilowatt hours over into kilowatts as to what you would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would share your historical usage and then you kind of calculate that out and you would say, okay, well, based on this, your best sized system would be something around here. Now, again, it's not going to be perfect because we're taking a couple assumptions. You know, we're assuming that your house is all electric, which it may not be. You may have electric during the summer and then gas to heat your house or gas to heat your water heater, things like that.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of the nuance of that one right there.
Yeah.
And so, again, you won't have as much sun during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So your system won't produce as much, right? You can size a system where it's over 100% all the time.
Yeah.
But that might not make sense. That might be too expensive, that kind of thing. So that's what I would start with is I need your historical bills. Okay, we're doing this. Then I would kind of assess your house, get up into your attic. What's your roof structure look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the integrity of the roof, the shingles, that kind of thing like that. And then after all of that stuff is okay, I propose a system and we agree whether or not, you know, you would, which you would because you're going to give me your home address. So after that, we agree upon a price of the whole entire system, labor, materials, all that. And then after that happens, we write up some paperwork and we send it off to the city if it's applicable for permitting. And then on top of that, let's assume you've got Ameren. We have to do what's called a net metering agreement or an interconnection agreement with Ameren.
Okay.
So we go off to those individuals and we say, Mr. Castor here at the address, whatever it is, would like to put this on. This is what we're proposing. So inside the city limits, we are going to have to make sure that the city's okay with everything. So they'll do a pre-construction meeting and you will have to get either a licensed master electrician or an engineer. So just with those two, depending on what it is. So a lot of times with like a roof structure to calculate if the load is able to be handled on that roof. You'll mm-hmm. get an engineer to look and calculate out what your roof structure can handle.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a master electrician to make sure, you know, you're playing by all the rules. You're doing everything right. Everything is the way it needs to be whenever you go to purchase materials, interconnect everything, the right type of wire, all that sort sure. of stuff. So that happens. Then, after everybody is on the same page and your solar system is installed, then we have to wait up to an additional 30 days for, again, in this case, Ameren, to come out and put what's called a bidirectional meter in for mm-hmm. you to be able to turn on your solar system. And here's why. This one's one of the fun ones.
All right.
Way back when, there were some nefarious characters, let's just say,
all right.
who would try to cheat the system, and I'm not going to say how they would do it, just because I don't want a couple of people, you know, getting some
replicating
some
it.
Ideas here.
Seth told me this is how you do it.
Yeah, you just play with 200 amps, right?
Yeah.
There were some dirty tricks, nefarious little things that people could do to try to get free power.
Mm.
Well, as everything goes, you know, you kind of get hip to that game. So what they did was, no matter what, Ameren in this case, or mm-hmm. really anyone, no matter what way your meter spins, because you've got that dial that's in the middle of it, right? No matter what way it spins, it costs you to spin that meter, right? They're counting that as usage, forward or backwards.
Right.
Now, again, we're going to skip over how or why that may have been done, but that's kind of that right there. So if that meter moves at all, that means you're using electricity and you're getting charged for it.
Yeah.
So if I go out there and I put solar up on your house and we just turn it on and we're like, see you later, and your meter's spinning backwards because it has that capability at that point in this particular setup, what's going to happen is you're going to get charged until they put in a bidirectional meter, because a bidirectional meter is the only type of meter, minus the smart meters that are coming out, but I'm getting ahead of myself, that says backwards movement in this case is actual backwards movement, and we are subtracting that off of your bill. Or we're putting on a different line item that says when the meter was moving backwards, it was X amount. Now, when it was moving forward, it was X amount, right? So we're going to subtract one from the other, and there's your bill that you get billed for. So they have a meter person that comes out and puts in a specific solar meter. So
okay. As you're saying all this, I'm hearing one sound. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's very nice.
It sounds very costly.
It can be, yeah. Okay. I mean,
so assure me, you know, what's my return on reward? What am I going to end up spending on an average home? And at what point will I see a return on that investment?
Right, right. Now, again, this one's hard for me to exactly pinpoint down.
I want an exact
pin. It has to be that.
Exactly.
Loaded.
We're signing the contract right now. Come on, Seth.
Now, I mean, I've seen anything from, I mean, a little over or just under 10,000 to well over that to six figures.
Okay.
But that's the difference between we're putting it on like a very small house versus we're going to do like a stockyard, for instance.
Yeah.
Right. So anywhere in between there, 20,000 to 50,000, something like that. And again, depending on how much you use, it can be just a shade over 10 years. It can be less than that. It all really depends on the set and setting, right?
Yeah.
They'll try to get it in the ballpark a little bit over your return on investment, a little bit over 10 years is what they try to aim for.
So what's the lifespan on a solar system?
Nah, that one's a good one too. So there's the two, the meat and potatoes are your solar panels, right? And then your inverter. Inverters, I mean, industry standard, you've got 10-year of warranty.
Okay.
I've seen them definitely go past that. And I've seen cases where they definitely don't last that long as well. Again, it just depends. The solar panels themselves, the industry standard used to be 20 years. I think on average now it's 25 or 30. So let's just say about 25 years.
Okay.
The efficiency is kind of what I want to go back to. You don't know it, but we're edging even closer to the weeds, what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
So I'm going to drag you in now. So I'm sorry.
All right.
But we're going to nerd out for a little bit, and then I promise I'll just dial it way back.
All right.
Now, the big thing you said initially was efficiency, right?
Yeah.
That's a big one. Everybody talks about how solar is and or isn't efficient. Oh, well, it's only 20% efficient. I'm going to ask you now. Here we go. I want to be the interviewer. Gary, what is that efficiency based off of? It's okay if you don't know. It's okay.
I don't know.
I'm putting you in the hot seat here.
I'm in the hot seat and I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. That's the one thing that I have heard a lot where it starts to delve into, you know, mainstream media, the political sort of thing. Oh, I'd do, get solar if it was more efficient. Next time, if you ever hear this, please ask the individual, what's that efficiency metric? What's that based off of?
All right.
Here's what it is.
All right.
It's watts per meter squared.
Okay.
Now, again, stay tuned. I'll make this the least amount of painful as I can.
I don't know. It's pretty painful.
I'm already super excited. Let's, in our minds, picture a nice, open, rolling field. There's no shade.
Yeah.
Middle of summer. Now, let's just imagine that we can take a 1 meter cube and cut into physical space itself. The amount of usable photons that we can make into energy is 1 kilowatt per meter squared.
Okay.
So a meter cubed inside of it under perfect conditions can produce 1,000 watts. So you take a solar panel that's roughly about that like flat area. It's not cubed, but you've got that one right there, right?
Yeah.
So at the perfect test conditions, you've got 1,000 watts of photons raining down on that sucker. And then out of the two inputs that are on the back, the two little cords, the leads, you've only got 300 watts coming out of it. That is the efficiency. That's where that number comes from, watts per meter cubed.
Okay.
So now you know. Now you can go to the mattresses for me.
No. I'm not doing that.
So whenever people talk about efficiency, 20%, 30%, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the metric that it's based off of. So in that area, your solar panel, instead of producing 1,000 watts, is only producing 300 watts.
Right.
Not bad, but that's what's available. So now how that ties in to you were talking about, like, you know, the warranty, the efficiency, the how long something lasts, right? I can tell you that having done this for almost 10 years, the sun destroys everything.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Almost.
Yeah.
There's stickers that we put on stuff to label certain like runs or conduit or like raceways, that kind of thing. And I've gone back to some of the original ones that I've done and they're just like so badly like sun faded or just beaten up that you can hardly read them anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Or just seeing some of the things that happen up there. It literally is. It's incredible. It, for me, it makes me think like, man, I'm out in this every day. I should probably put a hat on.
Right.
I'm kidding. I put a hat on. Get out of here. But over time, if you think about a solar panel itself, you've got these silicone wafers and those little lines that are on top of them are leads that will pick up the electrons. And that's what does the transmitting of the power. So over time, you've got these tiny little solder points and you've got this thing that is just sitting out getting beat up by the sun. So over that 20-year lifespan of it, the efficiency or the output of the solar panel goes from 100%, dips down to 80%. And that's what happens is it's just each and every day, got electrons going through that guy.
Yeah.
It's getting beat up by the sun. It's going through the cold. It's going through the hot. It's just all of that.
Sure.
It just kind of over time wears out. It doesn't completely quit working. There are some that do that. There are manufacturer defects. But again, in a perfect world under perfect conditions, it just does its job until it doesn't do it as well because it's just kind of getting beat up. Those things are made to take hail too. That's another one that I get. There is only so much that it can take, right?
Because
the glass isn't just like a regular window glass. It's tempered glass.
Right.
So it takes a beating. It flexes. It warps. That kind of stuff. But if you have something like a frozen grapefruit coming out of the sky, it's not
going to work. Yeah. You got bigger problems than your solar panel at
exactly
that point.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're made to take, you know, the sun, the wind, the rain, the hail, uplift, downforce, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like everything, there's only so much that you can take.
You know? So one of the criticisms I've heard of solar is how green it really is as far as recycling.
Right.
So when those panels wear out, that they are, in some respects, more toxic than fossil fuels would be the allegation. What would you say to that?
Yes. I mean, I've heard that too, to agree on that portion right there. There is no recycling because you've got the frame being aluminum. You've got tempered glass. Now, those cells themselves are like hermetically sealed. I've taken one apart or tried. That glass and that solar cell, that silicone, they don't separate. They are sealed forever.
Right.
So, yeah, there is no repurposing or anything. They don't really leak. They don't leach. They just kind of are, you know, in the sense of they are not as green as you think. That's a fair assessment because you do have to take and make that silicone crystal. So it's a lot like, you know how they would make candles? They take the wick and they just continually dip it in wax until it makes that candle form. Think of it like that,
yeah,
but with silicone. And then they will take that, cut it down into wafers, and then they'll dope it, things like that. Yeah, I mean, you're taking things like boron, phosphorus, sand. You know, you are having to make that. Like, it's kind of a smelting process, if you will. So, I mean, it's not the most green thing in the world. You know, it takes energy to make energy in that. So, yes, that is absolutely fair. Now, as far as, you know, our landfills being filled up with solar panels, I mean, not necessarily. It's not much of a contributing factor to any sort of negative effect. Now, the production of, yes, I could see that. But after that, I don't have a lot of people who are like, these are some old solar panels.
Yeah.
I need this year's new model, like, you know, like a new car. You know, usually if you have them, you have them. If something happens where there's a re-roof or, you know, you have to go through and take everything down or insurance claim for whatever reason like that, you know, or I've even had it where people, there was one I remember where a new homeowner was buying this house and it was one of our installs. And the people were like, well, we have to get a new roof. We just don't want the solar back on it. And we're like, okay, I guess we'll just take your panels and you get a roof and that's that, you know?
Wow.
But for some people, like I said, it's just, some people don't like it. It's an eyesore, you know, it takes away from the enjoyment of a home.
Yeah.
It just depends on the person and what they want.
Sure, sure.
So every once in a great while, yeah, you will have that where people take them down and don't put them up and they will just hang out. But in general, you could repurpose them. You can sell them to somebody who wants them. For instance, if you have a 240-watt panel and the brand new industry standard is 400, there's somebody out there who's like, yeah, I'll take that for less than half the price and put it up on my house because it still makes power.
Sure.
Right? It doesn't stop unless it's damaged beyond repair.
Yeah. All right, Seth, any parting words about solar?
Oh, man, I've got so many. My biggest thing, parting words, is what everyone's perception at arm's length of solar is, it's not what people think it is.
Yeah.
Again, it makes sense for some people it doesn't. It isn't this big, well, the government subsidizes everything kind of thing, because it's not that. And it isn't this thing where it's absolutely free and clear. And I think with solar, it is definitely part of a solution to an issue where we use power and will continue to use power. It isn't the answer for everything, but it is part of the answer. The parting thing that I have to say is I would really like to move away from things being black and white because everything's nuanced.
Yeah.
And solar's definitely a part of that.
Right.
I mean, again, having done it for almost 10 years, you know, there have been cases where it's like, no, that doesn't, it doesn't make sense. This is more efficient for you to do over here versus, you know, something like that. So just, you know, maybe go talk to a solar guy. Find out for yourself.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Seth, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.